Our scripture this morning is from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 10. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This concludes the reading from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. If you go to your bookstore, if you go to such places anymore, a lot of folks don't, or if you surf and go to your Amazon bookstore or whatever, you'll see a lot of bestsellers in the self-help section. Well, heck, you'll see a self-help section. There's this whole self-help deal. And the majority of them are about happiness, are about how to be happy one way or another. And the book itself may not be how to be happy or say something about being happy, but what it is that it's trying to help us with is usually so that we can experience happiness that we feel like we are missing out on. I commend a number of those books to you. That's fine. This is not anything to rail against self-help books or any kind of therapy or whatever, help from others, whatever the case. But what I am going to say is, you've just heard, read, you can see it up here, really the key to happiness. And here's what I mean. For one thing, I love that I proofread the bulletin and everything like I do every week and didn't even notice on the cover, but when I saw it on the screen this morning, I realized our wonderful Mindy had actually put the actual verse as the background to the graphic for today. So that's it, and that's our kind of anchor verse, that verse 3 that you see right there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So I commend this to you. Read Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians. Go home and read this. And if you have a copy of like the Message or the Voice or something in sort of a modern translation to read as a supplement, more power to you as well. That can really help. But this is just mind-blowing. And so I want to unpack this a little bit. Because here's our condition, and I can't do better than the words of the late, great Clive Staples Lewis, C.S. Lewis, in The Weight of Glory. He writes that God, our Lord, he says, finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. He finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, he writes, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. And Lewis continues, like an ignorant child who insists on making mud pies in a slum because he can't understand what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach. We are far too easily pleased. We talked a little bit about this last week. If you were here, if you recall, I talked about a shadow mission. That our life mission becomes a shadow mission. It is like us, but like a shadow is like us, but is not really us, is a poor imitation. When things like, as Lewis says, drink, sex, ambition, the classic pursuits I said last week of money, pleasure, power in one form or another. None of us is immune to those things either. They manifest themselves in everyday things. When those things that can be a part of a God-blessed life, a God-glorifying life, money, pleasure, power, those are fine things, but when they become our reason for being, when they overtake, they become a shadow mission and our lives become shadows of what God really intends us to be. So how to replace our fooling about, to use Lewis's words, with infinite joy? We are fooling about when we are offered infinite joy. And so I want to walk us through this. We're going to have a little fun together. And if this isn't your idea of fun, just pretend. Smile and nod. I want us to write a psalm together. This says psalm. Sorry, choir. It's hard to... and I don't want us to write that. There are those kinds of psalms that say, you know, God, I wish you would break the jaw of my enemies. And that's a real quote, by the way. That's not the kind of psalm we're going to be doing today. But praise God for... That's the kind of psalm I want us to do. Praise God. And this is how easy it is, brothers and sisters. Praise God for... Let me have it.
Desert sunsets.
Desert sunsets. Hold on. We're going to get to them. Go ahead. Somebody else. Grace is grace. What else?
Music.
And I'm going to add arts in general to that.
Hope.
Peace.
Peace.
Wait a minute. Blessings. What was Larry? Happy children. Amen. And unhappy children, whatever. Rain, that's right. What else? Couple more.
Love,
how about that? Life itself, good. Love, I'm going to go over here. Life. What? Huh?
Healing.
Another?
Freedom
to worship and all kinds of freedom inside and out. I'll just expand on that.
Toys.
Good. One more. Huh? Protective hands. And what was that?
Peace.
We've got peace, so that's good. Peace again. Okay. Now, here you go. You've done it. And it took no time. And the way this works, of course, for the psalmist, for the poet, for the songwriter, for the artist of one kind or another, would take this and craft it using poetic language, a little more flowery, expansive similes, metaphors, that sort of thing. And what happens when we do that is we take these more sort of specific things or whatever and make them more general or the opposite. But what happens is we're making them more universal. So instead of just seeing this in our own lives, the artist helps us see this kind of everywhere. But that's it. I mean, this is the core. This is what it's about. This is the core of it. This psalm you have just come up with. Praise God for... And then you've got it all right here. And I know some of you continued after I said that's good. Some of you are still right now doing that. And I see some people smiling and nodding because I'm talking to you. Because once you start, it's hard to stop. Right? Once you start praising God, it is hard to stop. You keep coming. You're thinking, I should have shouted out this. I could have said that. There's all this other stuff. And that's how it works. And that, brothers and sisters, is the key to the happiness we are looking for. Because, now stick with me on this, it's the key to the infinite joy that C.S. Lewis is talking about. We are offered, we're fooling about when we are offered infinite joy. We're fooling about with worldly things when we are offered every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And here's the key. Because we're not those happy Christian. Oh, we don't necessarily want to be those kinds of people. Or if that's you, God bless you, that's fine. But we're not happy all the time. Life, that's just not real. And Jesus, who promised to give us abundant life, means there's abundant happiness, but there's also sorrow and lamentation and pain. Right now, that is the experience of abundant life. And we need look no further than Jesus himself to see. So it's not about being happy all the time, but this is the key. It is about the joy. We can and should be joyful all the time. In the midst of lamentation, in the midst of pain and suffering, there can be joy. There may not be happiness, although there may be little happinesses, but there can be joy. And joy is a deep contentment in the world and in ourselves because God is present in both. And so I'm going to shorten that. That's just my kind of working definition. But I'll shorten that just to say joy is recognizing the presence of God. That's joy. That's where joy comes from. And when you have a foundation of recognizing in all things, including suffering and pain, as well as the good times, recognizing the presence of God, that's joy. And from that comes true happiness. That isn't that sort of elusive, fleeting sort of happiness that comes from buying stuff or whatever. Because as soon as we have it, then we start wanting something else. It's never enough. That's the thing with those things. That our culture's definition of happiness doesn't work. All it really does is cause anxiety. Because once we have the stuff that we thought, or the power, or whatever it was that we thought was going to make us happy, then we get afraid. We start getting anxious that we're going to lose it. And then either the feeling that we might lose it or the reality of losing it is a downward spiral to despair. And that's how happiness becomes despair. That's not happiness. Real, true happiness can only come from this joy. And this joy comes from recognizing the presence of God. And recognizing the presence of God comes from what you just did. Praising God. Praising God. And so, just to lay out sort of a plan, let's map this out together, make a plan. If we're going to do this, and I want to invite you into a life of praise, I want to invite you to become a psalm to God. That your very life every day will be a psalm to God. And here's where we start. What God has done. Praise God for what God has done. And here's a couple of things. What God has done, created all things. Regardless of your view of the process by which that happened, we as people of faith have in common the belief that God, the faith that God made it happen. However, he has done and is doing that. So praise God for what he has done, created all things, including us humans, in his own image. We are the bearers of the image of God. So praise God for what he has done, created all things. Praise God for what he has done. He has revealed himself to us. He didn't have to do that. But beginning with creation itself, that points to something much bigger, profound, beautiful, creative, whatever. And then by pulling aside, calling out a people to himself, to whom and through whom he was going to reveal himself to all the world. And finally, in the ultimate revelation of God, the incarnation of the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, he redeems all things. Praise God for what God has done. And as you might anticipate, we praise God for what God is doing. Praise God for what God is doing. Here's a couple of things. He is blessing you. He is blessing your socks off. As you sit there, I expect to find a bunch of socks in the pews tomorrow morning. Because he is blessing our socks off. That's what God is doing. The clothes on your back, the roof over your head, the food on your plate. We all have things we want. But don't ever, ever let those things you want, those things you wish you had, stop you from praising God for what he is doing, blessing you now. All kinds of blessings. And praise God for what he is doing, leading us in the way of discipleship, in the way of his kingdom. Because that is the resurrection. We are resurrection people. Not just because we point to Jesus and say, yeah, he was raised from the dead, so that means he was God or something. That wasn't the point of the resurrection. Not because we read Paul and we look at Jesus and we understand one day we too will be resurrected. And that is wonderful. And those are both fantastic things. But because the resurrection attests that Jesus' way is right and that he is alive now to lead us in that way. That is what he is doing. Now, praise God for what he is doing. Blessing us. And that's this. And you can get specific, too. You can take these things and say, praise God for coffee. Can I get an amen? Yes. Praise God for the lunch you're going to have. Praise God for the smell after the rain. Praise God for specifically this morning in the dark of the early morning going out and seeing the sky washed clean by the rain so that I could see the sliver of the moon and the glow as it carried over even to the dark part and all the stars very bright just the way it is after a rain. Very specific things. It could go on and on and on. Unceasing. God's blessing and God's leading us into the life of discipleship and his kingdom work. Of course, that's his mission, right? We talk about that all the time. Not just for us to go to heaven when we die, but to be part of his kingdom coming in the world now. And that's where we get off track with this verse that's right up here. God, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we people of faith tend to think, yeah, that means when I die, I'll go and have that blessing. We read Paul in Colossians chapter 3 where he says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so we think, yes, when I die, I'll be like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I'll blow up and float off on a cloud and sprout wings and play a harp and with a little halo. There's some other person that I will be when I die. And that person is kind of waiting for me. And so until I die, the one has nothing to do with the other, really. That's the problem with the way we understand or misunderstand verses like this one. Jesus' mission, that what he is doing now, bringing heaven into the world, is that the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are lived out, flow into the person that you see in the mirror every day. And through you, heaven is spilling out into the world. That life that is hidden with Christ in God is safe and secure. Yes, nothing can ever separate you from your place with God. And when you die, yes, you will go to be with the Lord in heaven. Your life is safe. Now, though, now, it is not packed away in some far-off place. It is flowing now from God, from heaven, into the person sitting in the pew with their socks getting knocked off. So understand, to be blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places just means it's secure and untouched. Nothing that happens in the world can take away those blessings. But it doesn't mean you have to wait until you die to begin to experience them. That's what this is. Praise God for what He has done. Praise God for what He is doing. Praise God for what He will do. He will renew all things. And brothers and sisters, the world needs to know that. That is good news for the world. And just a little bit of mind-blowingness for a second. What God is doing in the future, what He will do, He is doing now and has done in the past. It is all in the eternal now, as the mystics say, for God. It is all flowing forth right now in the present moment. The sacredness of eternity now, alive in us. Eternal life is now. And so the Word says not that God will renew all things, but He is making all things new now, including you. But that is something I guess one day we'll be able to say, He has made all things new. It's done. Everything has been made new. And what God will do reside with us forever. When all things have been made new, and all the nations of the world have become the kingdom of God our Father and of His Messiah, Jesus, who will reign forever and ever. John in Revelation, where those words come from, says, "Look! The dwelling place of God is with people. He will be their God, and they will be His people." That's what God will do. It's what God is doing. It's what God has already done, has already secured. Praise Him for that. And if you get to the end, like those commercials that say you've reached the end of the internet or whatever, remember those? Seen it all the web? Seen the end of if you've exhausted everything that you could praise God for what He has done, for what He is doing, for what He will do, and let me let you in on a secret, it's not going to happen. You're not going to get to the end of that. Then there's one other thing. Praise God because God is God. We don't want to have our development arrested, to stop our growth in this place of sort of immaturity as humans. It's our nature to only praise God when He does stuff for us. Overarching all of it, the banner over all of it, is praise God because God is God and is worthy of our praise. So yes, keep praising God for all of these things that He has done for us and continues to do and will do. But above it all, just praise God because God is God. So two quick ways to live this out. Number one, get back to saying grace at meals. At a meal. By yourself. And or with your family. Make it a habit. Try for once a day at a meal. And again, even just when you're by yourself or whatever, say a quick prayer. Even out in a restaurant. Who cares what they think about you? Bow your head for a second. And don't let that be your prayer time for the whole day, especially if you're with other people. If you've ever sat there smelling your dinner while somebody seems to be wanting to pray for everything and they're everything going on in the world or whatever, well, God bless them, that's okay. I have a pastor friend who said he's suspicious of people like that because that's the only time they ever pray or whatever. So for me, it goes like this. This is the prayer I usually pray with my family when I'm doing it, sometimes my daughter, sometimes my wife. Loving Lord, we thank You for this food and for our family and for Your many blessings. Amen. Simple. Now, if you have something specific that you want to add to that, somebody on your heart or whatever, that's fine. And take as long as you want. I'm just kidding. Whatever it is you do. But I'm just saying it can be very simple. And if you're embarrassed to do that, you can blame me, for starters. Just say, well, the pastor said we ought to say grace at the meal, so right after church, I guess we'll say that. I'm just doing it because he said so. You know, if you're embarrassed, that's okay. But somebody take the lead on this and make this happen. So there's a thought. Just something you can work into your life. But the other thing is this. And I want to give you this image. Pick a praise fruit every morning once you've gotten that precious nectar of God coffee into your system or whatever it is, whatever your morning routine is or you've exercised or whatever. But pick a praise fruit, a piece of praise fruit. And what I mean is pick something to praise God for. One thing. And then eat on that praise fruit throughout the day. Feast on that praise fruit through the day. Thank you, God, for my family. And then throughout the day, thank you, God, for my daughter's laugh. Thank you, God, for my wife's smell. Thank you, God, for my mother who embodies grace. Thank you, God, for the wisdom of my dad. Thank you, God. And just like concentric circles. Thank you, God, for El Paso. And then as you drive around, there you are. Every day I turn on Mesa and come down here and just, oh my gosh, there's a mountain. Because I'm from the plains, right? Everything is just flat in the Texas Panhandle where I come from. And so I still get surprised when I turn and come to the church. Because I'm like, oh yeah, there's a mountain there. Not used to that. But whatever it is, pick a piece of praise fruit in the morning between you and God and start praising God throughout the day. And then when you are laying your head down, praising God for the safety and comfort and peace of a bed that many, many in the world do not have. Miracle of miracles, you get to get up tomorrow morning and do it again. Pick a new piece of praise fruit. Today, God, I praise you for, and it could be the same thing as the day before if you want. I just need to chew on that a little longer. But whatever it is, brothers and sisters, if you doubt, take me up on this for a month. Give it 6 weeks. I don't know. And then come see me and tell me how infinite joy has been unlocked in your life. How you are finding yourself happier than you've been in a long time. All because you found the power of praise. Praise for the God who is worthy. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Loving Lord, we do praise you and thank you for the many displays of your love in our lives. Help us not to hoard up this praise and the blessings, but to bless others. You who are so blessed, never hesitate to share your blessings with us. May we be vessels of your blessing, flowing from the heavenly places into this world, into the lives of those around us. And may you get all the glory and all the praise. Give us wisdom, Lord, before the day is over or first thing in the morning to pick a piece of praise fruit and to feast on it throughout the day, Lord. Teach us the joy and power of praise to bring true happiness that can never be taken away because it is safe, coming from your hands. In your name, amen.